Hi, I'm Annie Parker from Microsoft. Welcome to Source Code. Welcome to our guest today, Mary Spio, the CEO and founder of Seek. Mary, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about Seek. What's the business do?
So Seek, we are a streaming platform for virtual events and experiences. So think of us as a Ticketmaster for virtual events and experiences. So we deliver to all different platforms. So virtual reality headsets, traditional desktop, we're omni device. So whether you want to see a concert in 360, or if you want to go to a conference in 360, that's basically what we deliver. Most of our content is delivered in 360 VR.
Cool. And how long has the business been going for?
So the business has been since 2016.
And this isn't your first startup, right?
It's not. It's not my first time of the rodeo, so to say. I've had some experience. I've had, you know, quite a bit of experience, you know, with startups.
So what made you start a startup in the first place? Where did that desire come from?
For me, it kind of evolved, right? Because I started out as the head of satellite communications for the Boeing company, and we launched a startup inside of Boeing, which was Boeing Digital Cinema. After that, there was a lot of demand for my services, and since I'm only one person, I decided to launch my first company so that I would be able to service a lot of the clients that I had.
And how did that go? How did the business kind of track out after the first year or so?
It did really well. It kind of evolved. So the startup was about delivering content for independent filmmakers. So I turned that into an online video platform. And what I found was that it was going to be ad supported. But as we went to speak to advertisers like Coca-Cola and so on, they wanted to use the platform itself. So it ended up becoming an enterprise application. So it was an online video platform, and it was used by over 200 radio stations. Actually, we partnered with Microsoft Xbox as a result of that. So it worked out really well.
And, you know, what sort of stage did that business get to? Did you raise funding? Did you kind of go through that whole process? What was that like?
So it was, you know, the success of the business was also its doom, if you will, in the sense that we were doing really well, growing very quickly. So we decided to raise capital, which is when I decided to bring in an investor who felt as if, you know, having a startup with a female founder was not exactly what he wanted to do. So he came in and replaced myself with a male founder who he thought would be more, Silicon Valley, more appropriate for Silicon Valley. So that sucks,
yeah, right?
It does.
So how did you deal with that? What did you, I guess, you know, sort of the practical response as well, you know, you're the investor, but that must have hurt a little.
It did. Initially, it was a lot of ice cream. But after that, you know, I looked at it and said, you know what, I'm going to go back to work. So I started looking at different companies. And it was through that process that I actually came across virtual reality. And then I said, you know what, I think that once you're an entrepreneur, your mindset kind of shifts. And so as I was asking a lot of questions about VR, at that time, it was only just desktop devices and everything was just for gamers. And I was asking questions about how do we deliver this for music? How do we do this? And I saw a massive opportunity to do something that I truly, truly love. So it kind of led me to where I am today. So in a way, I'm not thankful to him, but in a way, I'm thankful for the journey. Yeah.
Interesting point you just flagged there of, you went back to work, but yeah, did you find that a bit more of a challenge after you'd been a founder and running your own business for a little while?
It was not as much of a challenge because I've always had that entrepreneurial. I think that, you know, I've done really well in corporate environments because I always take the entrepreneurial approach. So right. When I was at Intelsat, you know, I kind of approached it from the perspective of, you know, how do we almost, I would sit with a lot of the executives and try to understand the business from that perspective. And I'm not quite sure, you know, where I get that from. So I've always been entrepreneurial, even within different organizations. You know, sometimes it's challenging, but
gotcha.
More often than not, it's been, you know, very positive.
And you're an engineer, right?
Mm-hmm.
you're an engineer, but you're also an entrepreneur, which means you have to be creative. Yes. You have to kind of balance those two things out. How does mm-hmm. Have you found that an interesting challenge as well?
I found that an interesting challenge because I consider myself a child of two worlds, right? The technical as well as the creative. And it's like engineers are purists. You know, you're either an engineer or you're creative, and the creatives are very elitist. Either you have this in your creative or one or the other. So I feel like throughout my career, I've been, asked to choose one or the other. But through being an entertainment technologist, it allows me to be myself, which is live in the middle, which is have the ability to work with the technical team as well as with a very creative team. I say that, and that's how SEEK actually came about, because it's the only place where I can talk about Newtonian physics to the engineers and then turn around and talk to Universal Music about, Lady Gaga and Megadeth and, super, super creative things.
That's so interesting. And I love the way that people try and box us into being one thing when mm-hmm. nobody's ever one thing. We're human beings, right?
Right, right. And I think people expect you to be a left brain or a right brain. I prefer to be a whole brain.
I love that. So let's wind it forward now. We're at SEEK. We've left the old business behind. We've come up with the next idea. So you mentioned you're a few years old now. How's the business going?
It's going well. Same challenges with raising capital, but it's going really well. It's going really well. I say rough waters make really good sailors. And so I feel like I've built a much better company than I would ever had if, everything was just handed over to me. So it's going very well.
So on that point, if you were to kind of look back, do you think that you were able to raise the amount of funding that you needed for SEEK? Or do you think that there's still some... perhaps issues out there in VC land where they're still not funding female founders?
I mean, there's a huge, issue in VC land, and that's not even just coming from a personal perspective. If you look at the numbers with, early as just a few years ago, only 2% of the, funding going to women, which is crazy to think that we're building future civilizations and ignoring half of humanity's brain power. Mm-hmm. But those things are still there. I haven't raised any capital from Silicon Valley. Fortunately, I've raised capital from my, from my partners and also from users of the platform. So our funding has come completely outside of Silicon Valley, but it's also proof of the platform that we're building mm-hmm. in that customers are saying, look, we need this platform to be out there and we're willing to bet our money on it. So we have, top athletes that have invested in it. We have, top everything, and our own partners, streaming partners that have invested in the business, which I think that by itself, it speaks more, to it than anything else. So it's through our network and our clients that we've been able to fund the company. And most importantly, we funded the company through revenue. So
hang on, say that again. You funded your company through revenue.
Yes, most importantly, we funded the company through revenue. And I feel like we've checked a lot of the boxes, but I always say with Silicon Valley, there are some invisible boxes that you cannot check regardless, because we have great traction. I mean, we're working with Microsoft and Universal Music and T-Mobile, and the list goes on, and we have mega clients, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. It doesn't get any bigger than that. And so I felt like we were kind of wasting our time a little bit trying to convince people that couldn't be convinced, and so we just had to look elsewhere. And now we're getting ready for the next phase of rounding of funding. But in terms of with where we are and where we've gotten to, that's been through revenue and through some incredible partners and users of our platform.
Incredible work. I mean, geez, mm-hmm. that's amazing to hear that any founder say that they can fund part of their growth through revenue or all of their growth through revenue. Mm-hmm. That's like the goal and standard, right, isn't it?
Right, it is.
The gold at the end of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. What does that mean for you? So going forward, what's the big vision for your company?
So the big vision, is to make, I look at virtual reality as the next iteration of the web, right? So web 1.0, we had text and pictures 2.0. We had video, and the next iteration of the web is the participatory web, which is web 3.0 or 3D web, where now I can walk into your storefront versus, you know, just looking at, let's say, a video. And so we want to make that accessible to everyone. And for me, it's super important, you know, because having come from an emerging world where I was so inspired by something that I saw on television, you know, I was exposed to a documentary on space exploration, which led me to follow my curiosity and become a deep space scientist. So I want to make access, remove all the friction from making access to the 3D web available and accessible to everyone, no matter where they are on the globe, which means, you know, mobile, building for mobile, that's a part of it, and building devices that are cheap and easy to access by any and everyone.
That's so cool. And wouldn't it be amazing if there's a kid somewhere around the world that's kind of interacting with that and gets inspired to do what you've done?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So being a founder is hard work. You can get a lot of no's, a lot of doors slammed in your face, and not everything is always super successful. So what keeps you going when things get hard?
And, you know, on one side is having a great family behind me that believes in what I'm doing. And on the other side, it's being able to find partners such as Microsoft and amazing people that are advocating for what we're doing. So those are the little and big victories that I look at. And I think today, while it's still difficult, you know, to be, you know, female founder, founder of color, it's also the best time to be a founder, a female founder, because there are so many advocacy groups and there are a lot of people fighting super hard. So if those people believe in what we're doing and they're fighting hard for us, and I see the results of that, I've benefited, you know, from the results of that. So that keeps me going, knowing that, you know, I'm not in this alone, and it doesn't matter how hard it gets, you know, that there's always a way, and it always usually turns out well. So I believe in the end of the movie, and I'm not leaving.
Love it.
Yeah.
I'm also sitting there next to you with my bucket of popcorn.
Yes, thank you.
So when you decided on this kind of founder career, what did your parents think?
Interestingly enough, I mean, my mom has never had a job. She's always been an entrepreneur. You know, she was, I was counting money when I was 3 years old. I just didn't know that I'd become one, because they always wanted me to take the traditional path of, you know, go be... Actually, engineering wasn't in the path, but they wanted me to be a nurse, doctor, lawyer, something. And so I think that it was kind of in my blood. I didn't even realize it. So I kind of saw her going through her, you know, everything that she was doing. And so she was very supportive. My dad is, you know, supportive of everything that I do. He, you know, so they're excited about, you know, what I'm doing, and have been super, super supportive. I wouldn't have been able to make it through a couple of very rough patches there without them, you know, being able to just pick up and go be on somebody's couch. And, you know, knowing that they would rather send me their rent and make sure that I keep going. So they've been extremely supportive.
It's great to know that. And I think one of the things that I always like to make sure of with any founder is that there are plenty of people out there who are happy to help. You just need to ask for it.
Yes.
And asking for it can sometimes feel like a bit of a failure, but it's just not true, is it?
Exactly, exactly. And that's one thing, too, that has been super helpful is, you know, it took me some time, but I realized that, wow, you know, you get more yeses than nos when you ask, you know. And a lot of times, too, what I've discovered is, for example, recently I went to see, you know, one of my colleagues, and I said to him, look, I'm having these challenges with, you know, raising capital. And he was like, wow, I thought everything was good. I didn't realize that you were having these issues, and I can introduce you to so many people. And that's exactly what he did. He made some amazing introductions. He has a bigger network. And so I think that it's super important to ask, because a lot of times nobody's going to offer help to you if they don't know that you need it.
So true. And to your point as well, most of the times when people ask for help, you kind of always get it, don't you?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because I think people kind of feel bad about saying no, especially when they know you're trying really hard. So even if they can't help you, chances are they're going to, you know, put you in touch with someone who can help.
So much has come out from this conversation that's super helpful, I'm sure, to many founders around the world. And thank you for sharing everything that you have. But You know, before we wrap, what other pieces of advice do you have for founders out there that might be watching today?
I think, you know, one thing that kind of stands out to me is as you're building your business, as you're building your startup, you kind of have to think about what position in the world do you want, you know? And I summarize this thing that my dad said to me a long time ago about, like, in life, there are, you know, two things that you'll be remembered for. One is the problems that you solve, and the other is the problems that you create. And there are a lot of good problems in the world. Pick some good ones to solve. And that's the same thing with startups. You know, if you want to, you know, be able to impact the world, you have to decide what problem you want to solve and who you want to solve that for. And if there are enough people that need that problem solved for them, then, you know, you're going to do well. I guess they call those moonshots. These are problems that can affect a billion people, which is, you know, basically something to look at. Just start with your community and then to the world at large. So find some good problems to solve with your startup, with your talents, skills, passions, all of that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for everything you've shared today, Mary. It's been a great pleasure to meet you. Thanks for watching, folks. My name's Annie Parker from Microsoft, and this has been Source Code.